You can open the book of Jonah. Sorry, pastor is not here, and you have to put up with my broken English. I'm so sorry. Thank you for praying for me. And I pray that we all learn from the Word of God. Today's message is about three different persons that we read their life story, kind of life story in the Bible, and we want to compare them with each other, and we want to learn which one was the best and which one we should follow. There are three different persons that we are going to read about their life. Maybe shortly, but enough that we can understand what happened in their life. So please open the book of Jonah, and we will read first three verses. I will read first three verses. The book of Jonah, 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Wow. We read about Jonah, what he heard, and he understood exactly what God meant, and we learned about what he did. It's very easy. He heard God's word, he understood, and then he did exactly opposite of what God told him. Exactly opposite. You don't need to have a PhD in geography to understand the directions. If we say Israel is here, Nineveh was to very east direction. And Tarshish, which is today's Spain, was exactly the opposite side, toward the west. So God said, "Jonah, go towards east, go to Nineveh." He understood what God said, and he went exactly the opposite direction, the other way. I suggest that you read the book of Jonah. It's not a long book. It doesn't really matter. Even if it was a long book, I would again suggest that read it, but it's a good opportunity this week to read the rest of this book. I'm assuming most of you have read it before, but to have a fresh memory, it's good to read it this week. We know what happened the rest, and if you don't know, please go and read it. We know what happened to Jonah. At the end, he obeyed God, but he went through a very rough trip, not only toward the west and a 180 degree the other direction, but because of his disobedience, he had to go very deep and then toward east, right? He went very, very deep into the ocean. That happened to Jonah, and this is not a science fiction book. It is a literal word of God, and we should take Bible literally. Literally. This is a literal book. There's no fantasy here. So we believe that Jonah was inside a fish, And I'm not going to argue with what type of fish it was, because I know there is lots of argument about this or that. I personally don't care about what type of fish it was, but God says he was there, so he was there. That's it. It is enough for, I'm assuming, all of us. But it is important to understand what happened to Jonah. And at the end, he saw what God wanted him to do after he obeyed him. But at first, Jonah was doing whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't obeying God. He was obeying his own will, not God's will. He was obeying himself, not God. But the problem was with the knowledge of what God asked him. He went to the opposite direction. So he heard, he understood, but he didn't obey. He went to the other direction. It reminds me of the very last verse of the book of Judges. If you are familiar with the time of the Judges, it was right after Joshua's leadership, when he wasn't there anymore. The Israelites didn't have a leader. That's why God brought a system of rule and law. And he gave them men to bring the word of God to them. And that system's name was Judges. And at the very last verse of the book of Judges, we see exactly what Jonah did. It's not the same time. Jonah wasn't living at that time. But what Jonah did reminded me of this verse. Judges 21, 25. And this is the last verse of the book of Judges. Judges 21, 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did which was right in his own eyes. Basically, whatever they thought is good, they were doing it. It's exactly how Jonah dealt with the word of God. He knew what God asked him, but he did whatever he wanted, because he didn't want people of Nineveh getting saved. That's why he thought, if I don't obey God, so God won't able to save them, so I'm going to disobey him, because I want it this way. And it was exactly the way how the book of Judges ended. Everyone was doing whatever they thought is good. And we see the result right after that. You may ask, the book of Judges just ended here, so we don't have more information right after that. You're right, but the Bible doesn't end there. We can just turn the page to the next book, first page, first verse, and we see what happened right there. Please open the book of Ruth and verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Stay here. There was a famine in the land. Which land? Where judges were judging? In Israel. Who gave Israel to Israelites? Who gave the land to them? God. Who blessed Israel? God blessed Israel. But why there was a famine? Because people received the land, but they were doing whatever they thought is good in that land. And with everything was there that God made good for them, but they took and received the resources and used it for their own purposes. And that's why there was a land. That's why there was a famine in that land. A famine in the land that God blessed. Why there was a famine? Because they were using the resources for their own good and for their own purposes, not God's. Let's read the rest of verse 1 and to the end of verse 5. And please bear with me. There's lots of names here that I might have a hard time pronouncing it, but it is what it is. I think we can all together read it. Verse 1, Ruth 1, 1 to 5. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlun and Chilun, let's say. I don't know how you pronounce it, but this is my best. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and Mahlun and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She was left of, meaning lost, her husband and her two sons. Please pay attention to the whole passage we just read. Do you see anything that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, hearing anything from the Lord? I didn't. So he didn't receive anything from the Lord. What he did, he just obeyed himself. He never thought why in the land came a famine. If he asked himself, if he asked God, if he read the word of God, if he thought about it, he could understand the famine is because everyone was doing whatever they thought is good. So basically, he just saw the famine without even thinking about the reason. And what he did was exactly what everyone was doing. Elimelech did whatever he thought is good. Okay, there is a famine. But I've heard that in Moab, there's plenty of food. So how about going there without even asking the Lord, without even reading, without even thinking, praying? He just thought it's good to go to Moab. And what happened to him? He died. And when we read the rest of the book of Ruth, the story is not even about him. He lost everything. The story is not about Elimelech anymore. We know the story of the book of Ruth is about Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Elimelech. And his family lost everything. So far, we learned about Jonah. He heard from God and he disobeyed. And then we learned about Elimelech. He didn't hear anything. And he thought, whatever is good, I'm going to do. And he did. But now the third character, the third person that today we're going to read about him is Philip. Please turn to Acts chapter 8. Verse 26 and 27. Acts 8, 26 and 27. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto thy way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure and land, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So what we learned here, Philip heard the word of God. He received it. And what he did, he didn't ask any question. He could ask many questions, actually. Like if you remember when we read about Jonah, God told Jonah, go to a capital city, a big city, a great city of Nineveh. But God didn't tell Philip to go to a great city. He was in a great city. He asked him to go to wilderness, somewhere that nobody lives there. He could ask many questions. Lord, why should I live here? I have a ministry. Why should I go to somewhere that nobody lives there? We don't read anything between verse 26 and 27 about he negotiating with God to change his mind or even simply even asking questions. He just went. Look at the first part of verse 27. And he arose and went, meaning he obeyed God. We know what happened after this. If you read the rest of chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, we read that he went there and he saw that person, and at the end he was saved, he got baptized, and the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way. This is first century, right? Regardless of what year was it in the first century. But I think we all agree in that at that time, there wasn't even any one person saved, a Christian. There wasn't any Christian in Ethiopia, right? The Ethiopian eunuch was the first one. And he got baptized. And we know that. What is baptism? The first step of obedience. How we're going to obey God? What is God's commission? What is God's command to a saved person? We know that. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go and give my word to the lost world. Right? So I'm thinking a saved person who just got baptized, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he went on his own way, when he get to his destination, what he's going to do? He's going to share, give the word of God, right? He's going to tell others. But did we catch what was the beginning? Philip didn't ask any question. He went to the direction that God told him go. He rose up and went there. And it was a ministry after that. Whoever got saved after that, Philip had his part in that. I have three notes to share with you. You can read it in your papers now. There are three very important notes that we should think about them. We should learn them. Number one, God uses us, but his plans are not depending on us. God uses us. For the last 6,000 years, God used human, mankind. But his plan is not depending on anyone, because he is the Almighty God. If his plans are depending on me, simply he is not Almighty. But because he is Almighty, his plans are supported by him. He doesn't need me. God wants us, but doesn't need us. This is very important. God wants us, but he does not need us. There is a very big difference between wanting something and needing something. Like, for example, I need a vehicle, something for transportation. But I want a red Ferrari. I want. So want is different than need. I don't want a red Ferrari. That was an example. I don't want it. But God doesn't need anything, but his heart wants us. Without any need, he wants us. He wants us to be a part of his plan. But his plan does not depend on us. This is number one. Number two, God's commands are clear, crystal clear. We cannot change his decision. Some people are trying so hard to convince God that red Ferrari is a good car. God doesn't disagree with that. But he says, it's not good for you. We cannot change God's decision. And his decision, his plan, his commands are clear. Very clear. What he wants, what is his commands? First of all, we should get saved. If we know the gospel message, we know what it means. And at the end of this message, we definitely talk about it. First, we should get saved. And after that, we should find a gospel preaching, godly, local church. And then we should attend the church regularly, faithfully. And then, we should serve the Lord in the local church. And this is not my interpretation. Please read it for yourself and you will find it. Serving the Lord in a godly, gospel-preaching local church is a must. Not an option. It's a must. So please don't roll your eyes on me. If you have any problem, take it to the Lord. Because I just read the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. So you can read it for yourself. And if you don't like it, please help yourself and ask the Lord. Let's not be Elimelech, because the end of it is very clear. So God's commands are clear. We cannot change his decision. And number three, God blesses obedience. Very simple. Very, very simple. God blesses obedience. Please read the book of Jonah this week, and you will see when he disobeyed God, he was in the belly of a big fish. When he obeyed God, he learned many things. He actually learned God's heart for the lost world. And it's a big thing. So the creator of the world, the creator of all, showed his heart to Jonah when he obeyed God. Please turn to Luke chapter 11. Beautiful sound. Turning Bible pages. That is the best music. Luke 11, 27 and 28. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. So who is blessed? Who hear the word of God and keep it? Means, am I keeping it like this and obeying the Lord? So everywhere I go, I have a Bible with me because I'm keeping it. Or it means doing it. Doing the word of God. Obeying him. Not keeping a word of God. Meaning we should do what he says. Very simple. We read about three different persons with three different life story. Jonah heard the word of God, disobeyed. God gave him another chance. And at the end, he learned God's heart. Elimelech didn't hear anything. He did whatever he thought is good. He died. His sons died. But Philip heard the word of God and did exactly what God said. So here comes a very personal question. I'm praying that this question bother every single one of us here. Which one are we? Which one I am? Which one I should be? Which one are you? Which one you want to be? Jonah? Elimelech? Or Philip? Remember, God's command is clear, very clear. Sometimes we think if I stay in opposition to God, if I disobey him, I can stop his plans. If you read Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It's not in your notes, but you can read it in your own time. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It shows us that God put human in certain positions. But if that person disobey God, God will provide someone else to do his will. God's plans are unstoppable. We cannot stop his plan. We cannot change his decision. We cannot change the destination of his word and his will. It will be done. The question is if I want to be a part of it or I want to be out of it. If I want to be in it or not in it. That is the question. If I want to be Jonah, Elimelech, or Philip. The end result is very clear in the Word of God. If we want to be blessed, we should wait for God's Word. And by the way, please don't listen to those charismatic preachings that they talk about last night. They heard or saw something in their dreams. Nobody can hear anything audibly from the Lord. That is not what the Bible teaches us. This is the church time, and for the last 2,000 years, God never talked to anyone in person audibly, and simply because when Apostle John received the revelation, the book of God, the Bible is complete, and we are not waiting for the next verse. So those Pentecostals are crazy. And if you see any of them, you can give my number to them or buy a coffee for them and call me. I will be there. Then you can go. No problem. But the thing is, when I say we should wait for God's word, meaning we should pray, as Pastor Turner preached this morning, and I suggest that you go on our website or on our YouTube channel and watch this morning's message. It was a great help for me. I was blessed by that message. It was about praying faithfully. I learned many things from that message. We should pray, and we should have a personal connection, a personal relationship with the Lord, not to hear his voice audibly from heaven, because that's cuckoo crazy, but we can hear the word of God only and only from this book. If we read it in order, if we have a Bible reading plan, we see how God gives us his word exactly on time, exactly what we need to know. He will give it to us in this book every time. But we have to open it. We are not living in the time when Elimelech was living. When he was living, the word of God wasn't complete. Also, the word of God wasn't so accessible right now. We have like many different translations in our phones. We have different books that help us. We have King James Version with many different printing, different sizes, right? So we have access to the word of God. So if now we be like Elimelech, it's all on us. It's all on us. Even he could do better. But honestly, like, we have no excuses now. We have zero excuses for not knowing God's will. It's not in your notes. Please open Romans 12, verse 2. Let's see if we can have understanding, if we have access to God's will, if we can receive it. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What it means. So we can understand what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect will of God. It is possible. How? Closing ears to the world, opening ears to the word of God. It's all in the same verse. And be not conformed to this world. So throw all the worldly culture and focus on the word of God. And then we will be able to understand his will and his decision, and we can understand what he wants from us. Simple, very easy. And after that, when we have the knowledge, then it comes the heart. If the heart wants to follow the will of God or wants something else, and then we can pray and decide. But the end result is there. We can read Jonah. We can read the book of Ruth to see what happened to Elimelech. And then we can read about the ministry of Philip in the book of Acts. It's a personal question. But every one of us, based on Romans 14, 12, we should answer God himself one day. And I'm praying soon. Because this world is going crazy and I'm just a little bit bored. I want to see the Lord soon. But again, I don't want to be Elimelech. If God wants us to stay here, who am I to say something else? So he gave me, he gave us this day. So we better decide to live for him this day. So the most important thing is, first of all, we have to make sure if we are saved. If we are saved, then we can serve him. But if we are not saved, serving is nothing other than works. And works without salvation means nothing. So serving comes after the salvation. God wants us to get saved first. Without works. He wants that. And the gospel message is very clear. We have to first come to that conclusion by reading the Word of God, coming to that conclusion that we are all sinners and we cannot do anything about it. We are out of options. We cannot buy our salvation by our good deeds. We cannot buy our salvation by feeding the poor or giving to church or doing many, many good things. But there is only and only one way to get saved, and that is receiving and trusting the gospel message, which is Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and his shedding blood, which was for the forgiveness of sins. Please, in your time, read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and Matthew 26, 28. And if you have any question, we are here to help you, to show you what the Word of God says, not what Pastor Yasin says. Who cares about what I say? I say many things that doesn't make any sense. I think you know that better than other people. I say many things that doesn't make any sense, but the Word of God makes perfect sense. So I'm here to show you verses, and we have men to show you the salvation plan, the gospel message. We have ladies here who can help you. So first, God wants us to get saved, because without him, we will die. Without him, there is no salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his shed blood. And after that, when we got saved, after that, we have to stay in the local church that God gave us, the Ecclesiastes, which is Kelisa Ecclesiastes, or the assembling of brothers and sisters. We have to stay in a local church, but first we have to make sure that local church is not adding or removing to or from the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, and giving the gospel message. And then when we made sure that church is from God, we have to stay there and we have to attend, yes, but serving the Lord there. Attending is good, but serving is a must. That's all, church. Easy. I'm leaving you with a very personal question. Please do not answer that question here, but think about it now, tonight when you're sleeping. Which one of these three I am right now, and which one I should be? Let's bow down and pray.